Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are looking at a market that feels a bit like the Wild West right now.
Oh, absolutely.
You check the headlines, you walk past a dealership, and it's just so clear. The automotive world isn't just inching forward.
No, it's sprinting. It's a full-on sprint. And honestly, it's getting pretty messy out there.
Messy is the right word. We're digging into this really comprehensive new report. It's titled, The Road Ahead. Navigating the EV demand surge.
Right.
And look, we're not just here to, you know, talk about the title. We need to figure out why all of a sudden it feels like everyone is trying to buy an electric vehicle at the exact same time.
And why it's become so difficult to actually get keys in your hand.
Exactly.
The report lays out a pretty stark reality. We've moved way past the early adopter phase. This isn't just tech enthusiasts anymore. Yeah. We've hit the mass market. And this surge the report talks about, it's not a gentle uptake. It's a flood of demand that the industry just wasn't fully prepared to catch.
So let's start there with the why. Because for so long, the story was that EVs were too expensive or people had range anxiety. Demand was lukewarm at best.
Right.
This report just flicks that script entirely. It says we're in a massive demand spike.
Yeah.
So what changed? Did everyone just wake up one day and decide they hate gas stations?
It's a convergence of a few things, according to the data here. First, price parity.
Okay.
We are finally seeing models that, you know, after tax credits and all the incentives are actually competing with their gas counterparts on sticker price.
That's a big deal.
Huge. Second is model variety. It's not just little compact sedans anymore. We have trucks. We have three-row SUVs.
Something for everyone.
But the third driver, and the report really stresses this, is FOMO.
Fear of missing out. In the car market.
Absolutely. The report highlights this psychological shift. Consumers are seeing legacy car makers commit to all electric by 2030 or 2035.
Right.
And there's this feeling that buying a gas car now is like investing in obsolete technology. It's creating resale value anxiety.
So people are rushing to EVs, not just to save on gas, but to future-proof their driveway.
That's it. Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. Nobody wants to be the last person holding a BlackBerry when the iPhone is already out.
Right.
But here's where the rubber meets the road, or maybe where it doesn't. The report uses that word, navigating.
Mm.
Because apparently, actually buying one of these cars right now is, well, a nightmare.
It is not a seamless transaction. That's the core conflict the report identifies. You have the surge in interest, but the whole infrastructure of selling cars.
The dealerships, the supply chains.
All of it. It's buckling under the pressure.
Okay, let's get into the specifics of that buckling. Because if I'm listening to this and I want to buy a car, I don't really care about supply chains.
No, you care about the wait time.
I care about why the dealer is telling me it's a 6-month wait. What does the report say about inventory?
This is where the numbers just get wild. The report notes that while overall car inventory is stabilizing, the day's supply for high-demand EVs is incredibly low. In some cases, single digits. That means as soon as a delivery truck shows up, those cars are gone. They're already pre-sold.
So the lot is just empty.
Effectively, yes. But here's the nuance, and this is critical for you as a shopper. The shortage isn't uniform.
Okay.
The report points out this massive disparity between the hot new models and what they call compliance cars.
Maybe.
If you want that viral new electric truck that everyone's talking about, you're getting in a queue, a long one. But if you want an older generation EV with, say, 200 miles of range.
There might be one sitting there.
There might be three sitting on the lot right now.
So the surge is lumpy. It's concentrated on the newest, flashiest tech.
Exactly. And that creates a very dangerous environment for the buyer, which brings us to the financial navigation part of this.
Ah.
Dealer markups. The report dedicates a whole section to the return of the market adjustment.
Oh, I hate seeing that on a window sticker. Market adjustment, $5,000. It just feels like robbery.
It feels that way, but the report argues it's really just a symptom of the surge. When demand outstrips supply by this much, dealers have all the leverage.
So what are we talking?
The report cites some popular models going for 10, even 15% over MSRP. So when we talk about navigating, we're not just talking about finding the car. We're talking about navigating a negotiation where you have zero power.
That's terrifying for a regular buyer.
Yeah.
I mean, usually the advice is be ready to walk away.
Right.
But if you walk away now, you just lose your spot in line, don't you?
Precisely. And that's why the report suggests a total shift in strategy. The old playbook was find the car, haggle the price, drive it home.
The good old days.
The new playbook, according to this data, is pre-order early, cast a really wide net across multiple dealerships, and this is the controversial part, be flexible on specs.
Flexible on specs? You mean I spend $50,000 and I don't get to pick the color?
If you want the car this year?
Yeah.
Maybe. The report indicates that shoppers who are willing to take a close match inventory unit...
Like it's blue instead of silver.
Or it has the premium sound system you didn't really want. Those people are getting cars months faster than someone holding out for their perfect custom build.
So we're moving from a Burger King have it your way market to a you get what you get and you don't get upset market.
In the high demand segments, absolutely yes. But let's look at the flip side. The report also highlights a fascinating counter trend. Price wars at the manufacturer level.
Right. I've seen the headlines about these massive price cuts. One day a car is $60,000, the next day it's $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
How does that fit with the high demand story? It seems totally contradictory.
Yeah.
If everyone wants them, why lower the price?
It does seem counterintuitive, doesn't it? But the report explains this is about market share. The big players, Tesla, BYD, and now the legacy giants like Ford and GM, they're trying to squeeze out the smaller startups.
So they're weaponizing their margins.
Exactly. So while you, the shopper, might face a dealer markup, the base MSRP of the car might have actually just dropped.
That sounds like a roller coaster. The factory drops the price by $5,000, but the dealer just adds a $5,000 markup.
That is literally a scenario the report describes. And for the shopper, it's just confusing. You see a press release about a price cut, you run to the dealer, and the price on the sticker hasn't moved an inch.
That's the navigating part, I guess, that disconnect between corporate headquarters and the actual showroom floor.
That's a turbulence.
Okay, so we have scarcity, we have price volatility. But there's another layer to this road ahead that the report touches on, and it's about the experience after you buy. The infrastructure.
This is huge. And the report frames this as a major hesitation point that is actually fueling the surge for specific brands.
You're talking about the charging network.
Correct. The report suggests that a huge part of consumer demand is now consolidating around vehicles that have access to reliable charging. It's no longer just does it have a battery.
It's can I drive it to my grandma's house without having a panic attack?
Exactly that. And we're in the middle of a hardware shift too, right? The move to the NACS standard, the Tesla plug becoming the North American standard.
Which is a massive variable.
The report warns shoppers about this interim period. We are in this window of about, say, 24 months, where if you buy certain EVs, you're buying a plug type that is effectively being phased out.
Or will require an adapter forever. Ouch.
Ouch is right.
So you could be buying the Betamax of cars right now if you aren't careful.
I wouldn't go quite as far as Betamax because the adapters do work fine, but the report does flag this as a shopper awareness issue.
You just had to do your homework.
You need to know what port is on the car and what the future of public charging looks like where you live. It adds another layer of research for the buyer.
This is just, it's exhausting. I feel like I need a degree in electrical engineering and supply chain logistics just to buy a family SUV.
It is complex. But the report argues this complexity is temporary, it's growing pains. But because we are in the middle of the surge, the burden falls on the shopper to be educated.
Okay, let's pivot to something actionable. The subtitle is What It Means for Car Shoppers. We've talked about the problems. So what are the solutions? If I'm listening right now and I need a car, what does the report say to do?
It offers three main strategies. Strategy one, expand your radius.
Drive further to buy a car.
Yes. The report's data shows that these inventory constraints are highly localized. A dealer in a major metro area like LA or New York might have zero inventory and a $10,000 markup.
But somewhere else?
A dealer in a rural area, maybe 200 miles away, might have that same car sitting on the lot at MSRP.
So a plane ticket could literally save you $5,000.
Exactly. The surge isn't evenly distributed geographically. Strategy two? Watch the in-transit list.
What is that?
Most dealers list cars on their website that are in transit. It means they're on a truck or a train somewhere.
Okay.
The report suggests that if you wait for the car to physically hit the lot, it's too late. It's sold.
Mm.
You need to be putting deposits down on VIN numbers that are still in transit.
So you're buying a car that is, like, currently crossing Kansas on a railway car.
That's how you beat the surge. You intercept the inventory before it even becomes visible to the casual walk-in shopper.
And the third strategy.
Consider the lease.
Really? I thought the conventional wisdom was always buy and hold.
In a normal market, yes. But this report raises a huge red flag about technology obsolescence.
Because the tech is moving so fast.
So fast. Batteries are getting better. Charging speeds are doubling. The car you buy today might look really outdated in 3 years.
Like buying an iPhone 6 right before the 7 comes out.
Right. And with the fluctuating prices and the price wars we mentioned, resale values are incredibly volatile. Leasing transfers that risk back to the bank.
So if the value of the car tanks in 3 years, you just hand the keys back.
The report suggests leasing is a kind of hedge against the uncertainty of this surge period.
That's a really interesting take. It's almost like treating the car as a subscription rather than an asset. Because the tech is just evolving too fast to commit to a 10-year ownership cycle.
It allows you to participate in the surge without being married to the specific hardware during this turbulent time.
Let's zoom out a bit. We've been talking about the shopper as this rational person trying to get the best deal. But does the report touch on the actual experience of owning these cars once everyone buys one?
You mean, then the lines at the chargers get longer?
Bingo.
The report definitely alludes to this. It calls it the infrastructure lag.
Mm-hmm.
Demand for cars can surge overnight. Building a fast charging station takes permits, construction, grid upgrades. That can take years.
So the road ahead might involve some waiting in line.
It implies that this early phase of the surge will involve friction. We're putting more cars on the road than we are putting plugs in the ground.
So what's the advice?
The report warns shoppers to have a reliable home charging setup. If you're relying 100% on public infrastructure, the surge is going to make your life difficult.
So home charging isn't just a nice to have anymore. It's a defensive move against the crowd.
It's essential. The report basically says, control your own fuel supply. If you can charge at home, the surge on the public network doesn't really bother you. If you can't, you're out there competing for resources.
This whole discussion paints a picture of a market that's really growing up, but it's having serious puberty pains.
100%.
It's awkward, it's expensive, and it's confusing.
It's a transition, and transitions are rarely smooth. We're swapping out the entire propulsion system of the global economy. The surge is just the sign that the transition has tipped past the point of no return.
Okay, what about the legacy versus startup dynamic the report mentioned? Is there a difference in how these companies are handling the surge?
A massive difference. And this is crucial for you as a shopper. The startups, the pure-play EV companies, they often use a direct consumer model.
You order online, the price is the price.
Right. Usually no dealer markup. But
yeah.
The wait times can be really unpredictable, and their service infrastructure is often thinner.
Right.
The legacy brands, Ford, Hyundai, VW, they have this service network, but they're stuck with that dealership model that allows for the markups we all hate.
So you have to pick your poison. Predictable pricing, but maybe a questionable service timeline, or chaotic pricing with a mechanic down the street.
That is the trade-off. The report doesn't say one is better, but it urges you to know which game you're playing. If you buy from a legacy brand, you have to be a negotiator.
And if you buy from a startup,
you have to be a project manager for your own delivery.
I love that distinction, negotiator versus project manager.
Yeah.
It really clarifies the role you have to play as the buyer.
It does. And remember, the surge brings quality control issues, too. The report has a little footnote about initial quality when factories are rushing to meet demand.
Let's get loose.
Panel gaps. Software glitches. The report suggests that these surge production runs can have higher defect rates.
Another argument for leasing.
It's another argument for leasing, or at least for expecting that your first few months of ownership might involve a service visit or two.
So don't expect perfection just because you paid a premium and waited 6 months.
Manage expectations. You're buying bleeding edge tech in a supply constrained world.
Let's synthesize all this. We've covered a lot of ground. We have the why prices and FOMO. We have the obstacles, inventory, markups, charging, and the strategies. Expand your search, pre-order, maybe lease. If you had to summarize the aha moment of this entire report, what is it?
For me, the aha is that the power dynamic has shifted, but not permanently.
Unpack that.
Well, right now, the surge puts all the power in the hands of the seller, the dealer, the manufacturer.
Mm.
But the report hints that this is a wave, not a permanent state of being. Production capacity is ramping up like crazy. Batteries are getting cheaper. The road ahead eventually leads back to a buyer's market.
So patience is also a strategy.
If you can wait, yes. Yeah. The report implies that in, say, 18 to 24 months, supply might actually catch up with demand. We might see incentives on the hood again.
0% financing.
We might even see that again.
So if you don't need a car today, maybe just sit out the surge entirely.
That is a completely valid interpretation of this data. If your current car runs fine, Maybe navigating the surge means just, you know, anchoring your boat and waiting for the storm to pass.
But for those who can't wait, who need a car or just really want to join the electric revolution, now active participation is the only way through.
You have to be aggressive. You have to be informed. You absolutely cannot be a passive consumer in a surge.
I think that's the perfect takeaway. The days of walking onto a lot, kicking a tire, and driving off in an hour are on pause, at least for now. This is a strategic operation.
It's a hunt.
It's a hunt. I like that. All right, before we wrap, I want to leave our listener with one final thought. We've talked about navigating this current surge, but based on everything in this report, what happens to the used car market in 3 years?
That is the billion-dollar question, isn't it?
Because right now, used EV prices are pretty high. But if production catches up and the technology leaps forward again,
then all these cars being bought in the surge today will hit the used market at the same time, around 2028 or 2029.
And if the new tech is that much better,
then those used values could collapse. Or who knows, if inflation keeps up, maybe they'll hold steady. But the report suggests we are building a massive inventory bubble for the future used market.
So we might be doing a navigating the used car glut deep dive in a few years.
I would not be surprised at all.
Something to think about. If you're buying today, you're planting a seed for that future market. Choose your car wisely.
Drive safe, and good luck with the dealership.
Thanks for listening. Keep your eyes on the road. Catch you next time.